I like the explosive nature of the services we're having. I just like to get completely over into that place where we're lost in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've been praying about that ever since a few nights ago when Brother Savage was preaching on those times. And I've been in services right here just like what he was talking about. I know that God has blessed us before he blesses us again. I want to, if you bow your heads, I want to ask, how many will make a commitment to come to church early tonight and pray in these prayer rooms? Would you raise your hands, please? Amen. I appreciate that. Got a good number. Maybe there'll be some more that'll come out and you wouldn't necessarily not making a commitment, but you didn't want to raise your hand and not be able to make it. But we got a good number. And I know this, every time Fairland has prayed, we have had a move of God. Can you think of a time where we started praying and we didn't have a move of God? If there has been, it was before I've been here. I'll ask Brother Shaw. Brother Shaw, have y'all, before I was here, when Fairland got to praying, did y'all ever have a time where you didn't have a move of God? Amen. Well, I guess it's before Brother Shaw was here, if it ever happened. And I'll tell you what, I believe any time the church gets to praying, there'll be a move of God. Amen. So I want to read from 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Amen. I guess that could be the house of prayers scripture right there. 5:19, 1 Thessalonians instead of Grimm. But at any rate, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I'll tell you, it would have been fine with me if the Holy Ghost just moved. Everybody got caught away in worshiping the Lord. And I know sometimes we've got a varied congregation. God can move while we're worshiping. And God can move while somebody preaches a message. And other people be helped by different aspects of the service. But there are times, and we've been in church services like that, where just the Holy Ghost takes sole control of everybody. And it's his will for us to be taken up in that worship, that there isn't any preaching. And any time is fine with me if that's the Holy Ghost. And we appreciate the moving of the Spirit here today. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. A very short scripture. Wouldn't be hard to memorize, I don't think, if we was going to put it on our list of memorization. You could probably get the address right. 5:19 isn't hard to remember for me. Quench not the Spirit. Little short verse, probably one of the shortest verses in the Word of God, but much power to it if we will listen to it. Amen. Now, quench in the Greek means to extinguish, quench, especially if something of fire or things on fire. Well, I don't want to be a fire extinguisher, not when it comes to this type of fire. No, I don't. I don't want to be a firefighter when it comes to the fire of the Spirit of God moving in the church. And so I'd just like to preach this morning for a little while on quench not the Spirit. And if you hadn't heard Brother L.D. Savage, come tonight, and Lord willing, he'll be preaching. And he's one of my favorites, and I would have rather heard him preach today. But at any rate, I'm preaching, and I pray the Lord will help me here today to just fan the revival fires that we've got going around here. Amen. As we passed the other day, this place up here that caught on fire right around camp meeting last year, Brother Savage asked me if it had been just logged out. I said, no, that was a place where that during our dry time, a fire got in it and just burned out a lot of those woods. I want to ask, how many was a praying right then that the Lord would stop that fire, quench that fire? Well, I tell you, I didn't want it to wipe out your homes, my home, this church, or I didn't want it to destroy anything, and not even those woods, whoever they belong to. And fire can be a very dangerous thing, and there are some fires I would love for God to put out. But I'll have to admit, this fire that I'm speaking to you right here today is destructive to the powers of hell and the world and the flesh and sin. But thank God for that destructive nature of that fire. But for us that are saved, this type of fire of the Spirit is a great blessing. It does not destroy, but it builds us up. It causes the church to be better than it's ever been. And throughout the Word of God, God is represented by the emblem of fire. And here we have the third person of the divine triune God represented in somewhat by fire. Because of this word quench. Amen. Now the fires that there are in this world that are unquenchable, amen, are many. No one would ever think that there could be a quenching of certain volcanic fires that explode from time to time. Lava that is running down out of some of these volcanoes in Hawaii, and there's some places in the earth where there's a constant flow, and there's no way to put out and quench that fire. No one would think that there would be an ability for someone to shoot a missile that would somehow explode the sun and put out the fires of the sun. The combustion of it is so powerful and so mighty that it could not be done. And I'll tell you, there is a fire that is greater than a volcanic fire. There is a fire that is a greater fire than what the sun has burning in it. And it is that fire of the Holy Ghost. And as amazing as it may seem, us who cannot put out the fire of a volcano, and us who cannot stop the blazing fire that's in the sun, can quench the fire of the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't seem real, does it? Now, the devil cannot do it. There is no warning in the Scripture about the devil being able to come and quench the fire of God that's placed in the church by his divine presence. In fact, I'll have to admit, the world has persecuted the church. But if you'll read the book of Acts, that the world, even by persecution, was not able to put out the fire of the Holy Ghost that was moving in that early church. But as amazing as it may seem, it doesn't seem hardly right. This command don't even seem to be like it should fit in the Bible. But those who could not quench the fire of the sun or volcanoes, and the fire that the devil cannot stop, and the fire that even persecution from this world cannot stop, somehow, some way, the church that gets blessed by the fire, and the church that gets able to do something by the fire, can quench the Spirit. I don't know about you, I don't want to quench the Spirit. Hallelujah. I don't want wildfire, but I'll tell you what, there's so little of it, I don't even know why we preach against it. Glory to God. Amen. I had never seen wildfire stick around too long. I would like to see Holy Ghost fire come down and just consume our church and bless our church and move in our church. Now, we know that the Spirit is like fire in many ways. We get our illumination from fire, do we not? Amen. Even these bulbs and so on that we have is still somewhat of the same principle of some type of fire, electrical fire that is shooting out there and through those bulbs and so on. And we get light from the fire. Amen. We get light from the fire of the sun. Amen. Whether it's a candle or a campfire, amen, or any other type of a bulb or something, that's the principle of illumination from fire. And I'll tell you, this old dark world, amen, needs a church on fire, amen, to drive back the darkness that's in this world. There's people that's come to this revival, and I'll tell you, they need a deliverance. And amen. A lot of folks nowadays that's praying around our altars, amen, don't just need a simple, amen, sinner's prayer. They need to be set free from the darkness that's way down deep in their soul. They're bound by the powers of hell, amen, and they need the Spirit of God to set a church on fire, to drive back the darkness that's in them. I'll tell you, there's people and young folks that's mixed up in demonic activity nowadays. Amen. Witchcraft and horoscopes and folks opening themselves up to demons through drugs. Amen. And demons through certain entertainment. I remember when I was a young man, I used to listen to a rock group called Kiss. Amen. And Kiss was not just a certain style that I liked. There was a certain spiritual bondage I had about it. Now, I have to admit, if you forgive me, it's been over 30 years since I listened to that rock group Kiss. Amen. But I was in the store the other day, and I heard a song that they started playing. It was Kiss. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I got to wanting to get out of that store. It still bothered me some way. Now, greater is he that's in me than is in that rock group. I understand. I'll tell you, the powers of hell will try to destroy a lot of people through many different avenues and through many different ways, but we need the light of God's fire, amen, to overcome the darkness that's in people's minds. The God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest at any time the glorious gospel would shine into their hearts, is what the Bible says about people being lost. I'll tell you why people are lost. It's not because it's better to be lost than to be saved. It's not because there's more joy in being lost than being saved. Amen. I'm not going to deny there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. I'll tell you, there's pleasures forevermore in Christianity. Amen. The reason, amen, that people are lost is not because hell is better than heaven and Satan is better than Jesus. No, the reason they're lost is they're in darkness and they're deceived. When I was lost, I was deceived. But praise God, the light showed into my heart and set me free from that darkness that bound me. And we need a church on fire, amen, so that the illuminating power of the gospel can go right into the dark hearts of people and set them free, amen, from suicidal tendencies. Set them free from self-destructive habits. Set them free, amen, from things that'll destroy their families and young people that'll have their whole futures wiped away because of some momentary, amen, decisions that they foolishly make. We need the fire to illuminate. Amen. We also need that fire to warm us up. Amen. I'll tell you, amen, what would this world do without fire? Amen. When the winter comes, when the coldness and the iciness of the weather, amen, comes into our area, what would we do? Who would lose their life if there was no warmth? If the sun did go out, let me tell you, this earth would be a dead planet because there would be no warmth for life. Amen. We need the warmth of the Holy Ghost to come down and warm up our church services. And I tell you, what new converts need is a warm church that's on fire for God. I'll tell you why God can't even save some people at some churches. It'd be like giving a baby and putting it in an ice box. Amen. Babies can't live where there's no warmth. Amen. We don't need chilly icicles leading the singing, and we don't have around here. Amen. But we don't need, amen, somebody that's below zero. Amen. Up preaching the gospel, and we don't have that around here. Amen. What we need is people on fire for God. Amen. We're not here for wintry prayers. We're here for fiery revival. And I don't want to quench the Spirit of God, because it's the warmth that gives us life. Can you say amen here today? Amen. We need that warm love of God shining from our singing and our testimonies and our worship and our praying and our backing of the preacher. Amen. I'll tell you, amen, fire comes and it burns the combustible things. Amen. Whatever's dry. Amen. You've heard that saying, if that don't bless you, your wood's wet. Amen. Well, there's a lot of people, I fear, who have wet wood. How sometimes the Holy Ghost gets to moving. Amen. I want to be combustible. I want the Spirit of God, when He moves, to find something to just, amen, spread throughout this whole church. I've seen it, and you have too, where from this corner to that corner, from the back to the front, people was a worshiping God, amen, in a fiery way. I've seen it where this whole center section, amen, was engulfed in the blaze of God. And I don't want to quench the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I say, let's fan the flame. Let's ask the Lord for it to burn brighter and higher and greater. Amen. When fire comes, it assimilates. It eats up. Amen. Well, I want it to eat up some bad things. Burn up whatever is of us that's not like God. And let those things that need to stay, stay. Oh, God, consume us. Assimilate. Amen. Change us into your nature. Make us into who you want us to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. But you'll notice the fruits of the Spirit sure look like Jesus. As like the more the Spirit works in us, the more He makes us look like Jesus. Burn up everything that's not like Jesus, and leave those good things, that love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and temperance and faith. Let it all remain in our hearts and lives. And you say amen here today. Glory to God. Let me tell you, this fire is very profitable and necessary. Amen. What would we do without fire? Amen. What cars could be made without the fire to form the metal and make certain things? Amen. What buildings of great structure could be made without the welders and the metal that has been forged? Amen. In furnaces. Amen. All kinds of things that we live with and take for granted, we could not have if it were not for fire. I'll tell you, fire is a profitable thing. It helps our businesses. It helps people, amen, in all things that they do throughout their lives. What about the combustible engine, amen, that causes that spark of fire, that causes the pistons to move and the wheels to turn? Let me tell you, amen, fire is a good thing. Amen. It drives our economy. Amen. I know they talk about oil driving our economy. I'll tell you what. Amen. There's something that's every day that really, if you took it away, nobody could do anything. And that's fire. Amen. Let me tell you, fire is profitable for a church. Everything we do. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Everything we do, everything we say, whatever, amen, the church is involved in, it's profitable when we catch on fire, when the Spirit of God is moving us and using us and turning us, amen, and charging us. Oh, let the flame, amen, come up and not just flicker a little bit, but let it consume us. Let us move with the moving of the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I'll tell you, it can be quenched. Amen. It can be quenched by withholding fuel. Amen. In Proverbs 26 and 20, it says, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Amen. Now, there's some fire set on of hellfire by talebearers, I'd be glad for God to quench that fire right there. But at the same time, amen, the same principle that says where there's strife and somebody that's there's lying and talking about it until they stir it up some more, amen, if you take away the talebearer, the fire goes out. You can also say that about the moving of the Spirit. Where there is, amen, no fuel to be added to the fire, amen, eventually the fire revival can go out. And so I say, let's pile some more fire wood on there. Amen, let's take the wood of prayer and place it up there high. Amen, let's take, amen, that gasoline of worship and put it on there. Amen, let's stack up some more wood above Bible reading and faithfulness to the house of God and see what the Lord does. Let's keep our mind upon the Spirit of God. Let's do our best to be tender to what the Holy Ghost is trying to do and add fuel to the fire. Amen. We can also quench the Spirit by neglecting to stir up the gift. Amen. If I could just say this, many times the fire goes out, not because that we have necessarily sinned a great and heinous sin, but sometimes the fire and the workings of God in a church go out simply by neglect and simply by our own, amen, listlessness, or maybe I should say even spiritual laziness. And every once in a while things get to going good around our house and things are not as desperate as what they have been. And so we take it a little bit more easy in our prayers and we don't stir up the gift and the fire begins to burn low because I'll tell you, we're busy and we're making money and we got plenty of things to do besides pray and besides doing spiritual things. So the fire burns low because we neglect it. And I say to you here today, we need to stir up what God's given us. Amen. It says in Isaiah 64:7, and there is none that calleth upon my name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hath consumed us because of our iniquities. I say to you, that doesn't have to be us. That was them. I say we ought to stir ourselves up, amen, to take hold of God. And Paul spoke to Timothy, and he said, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And I tell you, some of y'all, you've got a good bed of coals right there in your heart. I know you do. All you need is a little kindling and a little stirring, and you'd be worshiping God like you have before. You'd be praying like you have before. Amen. It's time for the church, amen, to catch on fire. Hallelujah. Amen. We can quench the Spirit, amen, by something of opposing nature, amen, being placed there as well. You know, water and fire don't do too good together. I have seen it where the fire was so hot you threw that little bit of water on it and it really didn't affect it. It evaporated. Oh, I'd like to get a hot fire of the Holy Ghost moving around here where that water couldn't do anything but just psh. Amen. But I'll tell you, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary, the one to the other. And there's some people that'll never catch on fire because they're too wet with the lust of the flesh, and they're too much given to the desires of iniquity, amen, to really have much of a desire to have a move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'll tell you what, you could have all kinds of things and get them interested. I'll tell you, if you're talking about praying and worshiping and hearing preaching, amen, I'll tell you, they don't have much interest in that. Oh, great Lord, let's put away the flesh and let's say what really matters right now is the fire of God, amen, to could consume us once again. Glory to God. Some may quench the spirit because they love their sins too much to give them up in the fire. Amen. Some may quench the spirit because it gets a little too hot for them here around these altars. Amen. In a spiritual sense, fire is a costly thing. And I already told you about a fire I was praying that God would quench, and thank God it didn't hurt anything. But there, those trees up there, I'll tell you, if it had got to our homes, if it had got to this church, it would have been a costly thing for all of us if that fire had damaged us. I'll tell you, the fire of the Holy Ghost is a costly thing as well, because it could burn up worldliness. It could cause people to clean out their houses. Amen. Clean out their magazine rack, their book rack. Amen. Their entertainment systems. It could cause them to clean up a bunch of stuff and say, well, wait a second. I paid a bunch of money for that. I don't care if the fire gets a hold of you just right. You'll be glad to see it go up in the smoke of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This fire's better than anything this world ever had. I remember when I got saved, had all my rock group albums, amen, great big CDs, amen, and some 8-track tapes, and I had one cassette. It was just starting, and I took Kiss and Aerosmith and Rush and Eagles, and I just go on ELO and just a bunch of others. I took them all and I threw them in the trash can. And the devil said, now wait a second. Said, you spend a lot of money on that. There's a bunch of money represented in that trash can right there. What if you backslide? And so I went and got them out of the trash can. And I got a hammer and I busted them up. And I said, I'm not planning on backsliding. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm planning on backsliding. Oh, that's what you got to do, friend. Just catch on fire to some of those things are gone. You say, Brother Lloyd, I've lost a lot of money. Amen. If this fire gets a hold of me just right, I'll lose a lot of money. I'll tell you what, I'd rather lose money than lose my soul. Amen. In fact, I'd rather lose money than lose your soul. Amen. It's time we dedicated ourselves to the moving of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What is a soul worth? What is my soul worth? Amen. What if I had continued in the way that I was in my inconsistent life? Where would I be tonight? I have no idea. I don't even know if I'd been alive. But thank God I'm alive. I'm in a revival of fire right here at Fairland Holiness Church. I got a wife that just sang a wonderful song this morning. I got a boy that's preaching the gospel and another one up at Export. Amen. I got two boys. One boy went on a bus route this morning. Amen. I got my little boy. Amen. I'll get up and read his Bible and pray. I just want you to understand. I got a lot to be thankful for. Don't tell me I made the wrong decision. Don't tell me those records and albums and things I used to do was too valuable. I say thank God they got caught up in the fire. And some of y'all need to let the fire consume your lives as well. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Well, amen. I believe the Spirit of God is able to continue to help us. I got a lot more here, but I need to kind of wind down. I want to ask you, let's make some final observations here. Amen. Do you believe that conviction comes by the Spirit of God? Conversion comes by the Spirit of God. What would we do if people are lost because we quenched the Spirit? Amen. How would we face our Savior that died for these lost people? Amen. How would we face Him? on the day that we stand before him and say, Lord, we could have had a fiery revival where souls were saved, but we chose to take it easy. We chose to quench the fire that you gave to us. And we look at his nail-pierced hands and feet. Amen. How can you apologize to someone who died for souls to be saved? And we quench the spirit that would cause conversions. Great Lord, I want to ask you something. Amen. How many knows how to build a fire around here? I mean, a lot of us do. I want to ask you, if you allow the fire of God to go out, what do you do to build that? I mean, can you just do it? Get some flint rock together and... I'm going to tell you right now, God gives the fire. Amen. When God sent the fire from heaven down, amen, upon that altar, if those priests let that fire go out, where was they going to get another fire from heaven? Amen. Let me tell you, this isn't so a normal, ordinary fire. This comes from God. I realize you can pray and ask God to send it, but when he sends it, how do you treat it? When he sends it, what can we do if we let it go out? I say, listen, I'm getting desperate. Amen. We got to keep this fire going. It's something God gave to us. And if God gave it, it's precious. There ain't nothing like it in this world. I can't get excited enough in my preaching. I can't speak to you well enough to get the fire going. We can't, even though we got talented singers, they can't sing well enough to get the fire going. But when God gives the fire, fan the flame. Don't put it out. Don't give into the flesh. Don't take it easy. Push yourself just a little bit. Amen. Worship God a little more. Woo! Oh, yes. Amen. I say to you, I believe we've been having fire around here. Amen. I appreciate you for obeying the Lord. I'm just going to ask you, amen, could we treasure what we have and let the Lord continue to move? Could we all stand? Back when Jed Smock was kind of preaching around our movement, he was a campus preacher, and I guess he still preaches on campus, but I went with him down to Oberlin College in Oberlin, Ohio. I think Brother Rick preaches on campuses quite a bit still. He knows Jed Smock, some of y'all may. Amen. But I went with him to Oberlin College, and if you don't know what Oberlin College is, there was a president they had back in the mid-1800s named Charles Grandison Finney. Half a million documented conversions, 80% of them stayed in church. Don't you wish we had 80% stay right here? I read a book and it was written in 1897 of a graduate from that Bible college. And it was a Bible college then. It's just a secular school now. I read what he said. He said, they still teach Finney's theology. He said, but the prayer meetings are dead. They're gone. There are no prayer meetings. So you go on the campus, they still have, they can quote Finney up here. But there's no fire burning down here. There's no conviction. Amen. Well, I went there in the 80s. And I saw men wearing dresses in the 80s. There was lesbians openly. Just there was wickedness in great public as Jed Smock preached. They were very open. In Finney Chapel, they had rock concerts. There's a statue of Buddha. And they had these great columns where they had, "Go ye to all the world and preach the gospel. Ye are my disciples," on this columns. And they had martyrs that had been missionaries listed on the columns. And they have their graduation every year right there. And they were supposed to go through that archway. "Ye are my disciples. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel." Go through those archways that had martyrs for the gospel's sake. And right now, at the college that was a fuel for revival throughout America, when people get their diplomas, they will walk all the way around to go to the other side, symbolizing they do not accept all of that. Amen. Where did it start? Well, it started where they still believed the right thing, but they didn't have the fiery experience. Amen. They had it up here, but they quenched it down here. And I'll tell you, I appreciate good beliefs. Amen. I told that to Brother K.A. Smith. He said, "That's the way the devil always works in a movement. He'll take their experience before he takes their theology. And then when he gets their experience, after a while, the theology's gone as well." Well, right now, again, it's not just people teaching Finney's systematic theology and them being able to quote it, amen, but not praying and so on, amen. It's a den of iniquity. Amen. Where did it all start? It started with a generation that quenched the fires of revival and still believed everything Finney preached. He'd probably go out to his grave. Go out to his grave and think, "My, what a great man this man was. Oh, great Lord." I read where he's touring a factory and a woman said something, just some sly remark making fun of him. And he looked at her in such a way that she got under conviction and fell on her knees. And that day, if I'm not mistaken, was it 2,000 or 3,000 people got saved just because he looked at this woman? Great Lord. God help us. I want to have a fiery revival, church. Amen. I want to add some kindling to it. I want to fan the coals. Oh, God, send something that'll just consume us. Praise the name of Jesus. Could you raise your hands as a church and say, "Oh, God, send the fire on us. Oh, God, send the wind of the Holy Ghost to ignite the flame just a little bit more. Oh, God, help us right now." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I'd like for us to come around this altar and let's seek the Lord for that type of fiery revival. If you're here today lost, I want to invite you to come to this altar and pray and receive Jesus as your Savior. If you come, you can confess your sins and believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead for your sins.